This is Katie Hartz with Mission Network News, and today I've got my friend Dean Vandermay on the line from Set Free Ministries, and we're going to be talking about a recent hope story. Dean, can you start us off and just set the stage, and then we'll get into why, into what makes it a hope story?
God has given us all kinds of hope stories throughout Scripture. So when we can go back to Him and trust His Word and then make that biblical story a part of our story, that's where faith and hope and love all start to come together. And so we're going to talk today about hope, and probably one of the best verses on hope is Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we believe in God who is unseen, but it's in Him we hope, and it's in Him we have our faith. So there's three greatest things in life: our faith, hope, and love. So we're going to talk about one of those three great things today, and that's the one called hope. And if ever the world needed hope, it's now. We're living in some pretty tough days, so we really need hope. So that's what we're going to talk about. So,
and you, sorry to interrupt. You guys, through biblical counseling, you guys bring people to this place of hope. Do you have any examples, any kind of character story, not character because they're real people, but, you know, just examples of how someone journeyed from a place of hopelessness to hope?
Yeah, I have a great story about that. About 10 years ago, I saw a guy in a restaurant who had slit his arms with a razor 30 times, and the wounds were still oozing. And the Lord spoke to me and said, help this man. So I did. And I went up to him after he left the restaurant to go and have a cigarette, and I said, say, I see that you cut yourself, and I know you're hurting. Can I help you? And he goes, I don't need any help. And I says, well, let me just tell you, I know why you cut, and I can give you the answers as to why. And that should give you some hope. And that was enough for him to come to Set Free, and we had quite a dialogue that day about why do I cut? And he was hopeless. He had determined that his life was worthless. He was filled with hurt, pain, and anger, and there was no more hope, because he had gone to a Christian school where he had been horribly mistreated and bullied. And in the Christian school, he had determined that Christians were unsafe, God was unsafe, church was unsafe, so he chose to do it his own way. And he was filled with anger, he had taken drugs, he had mental diagnoses of paranoid schizophrenic, he was severely depressed, bipolar, he had all kinds of labels. And what I did that day is I said, there's a way out of this, let me help you. And through confession and repentance, that man today is not only happily married to his wife, which I got to marry him, but he has three kids, he's gainfully employed, and he has no mental illness, and he's not on any medication, and he started his own business. He just went with me 3 weeks ago to a young man that had overdosed and tried suiciding, and he was my prayer partner. And I told him to wear short sleeves because this man cuts. The man who has scars gives the other man who had just cut himself hope, because there's a way out. It doesn't have to stay this way. And that's our God. Even though God is unseen, he gives us ways out. And Scripture gives us that, because we can see from Scripture and even from nature all around us that God is screaming, I am. Call upon me in your day of trouble and I will answer you. That's hope. So we look to the unseen world for our greatest hope, and the unseen world is actually what created us. And that's what today's culture does not understand. They've been told by educational systems and by secular humanists that they're nothing more than a blob of cells that has evolved. Simply not true, but that's what they've been told. They don't believe in a God that exists and created the entire universe. So there's a lot of people today that don't have faith. Therefore, because they don't have faith, they don't have hope. And it's impossible to love without it. That's kind of a mouthful.
And you, I'm sorry. I keep cutting you.
No, go ahead. No, that's fine.
You mentioned earlier that there are a lot of reasons not to hope right now, and I agree with you. Let's talk about some practical steps. Like someone who hears this on the radio or comes across it on the website, and they resonate with what you're saying, what do they do next? What are some practical steps?
Well, the practical steps is there's two kingdoms that exist on planet Earth, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And currently they're colliding. The two kingdoms are colliding, and that's why there's so much chaos and unrest in the world right now. Our nation is burning. The cities are burning. Why is it burning? Because there's so much what? There's so much anger. There's resentment. There's all kinds of things going on where people are being spiritually impacted, and their eyes are off of God and onto the problem. That's the focus, is the problem. The focus is I'm angry. I don't have this. I don't have that. There's envy. Envy rots the bones. So instead of, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to work for things, it's kind of like, no, I want what you have. I'm going to take. So there's a lot going on right now in our culture, and it's because in 1963 we took God away from the children, and we didn't let them pray anymore in our public schools. We removed scriptures from our children. We're removing scriptures from our town halls. So we were once a God-filled, God-centered society, and now we're becoming a godless society. Secular humanism is taking over, which leaves everyone hopeless. So that's what's happening in America today, is we're trying to draw our self-worth out of things that we have or things that we do, and there's no satisfaction. John D. Rockefeller was a billionaire in the 1800s, and he was asked how much he needed, and he said, just a little bit more. He was not satisfied. Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger, I can't get no satisfaction. Okay, that's a guy with how many homes, how many girls, how much money, and he can't get any satisfaction. That's correct, because there's only peace with the living God. So that's, if our hope is not in God, then we have no hope at all. And the reality is this. If you're a human being, you have been created by God. He knit you in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He has plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. How many Americans even know that verse? How many people know that God created them in their mother's womb for good works? They don't know this. They haven't been told this. So the God of this world is stealing. They're stealing the joy and really stealing the future of Americans because we have not evangelized them properly. We have not fulfilled the Great Commission, even in our own country. And now the reaping and the sowing is upon us. We haven't done a very good job with this. So it's time we, the church, start doing what God has called us to do. And the Great Commission is not the great suggestion. The Great Commission is go make disciples. We have not done that. We haven't done it. And because we haven't done it, we have millions of orphans who run around in our streets now. Even they don't have fathers. We live in a fatherless society. 40% of the children born today will be born without fathers in the home. If you happen to be a black child, it'll be 78%. And this creates an awful lot of havoc in our communities. Because we don't have fathers in the homes anymore, and that's not God's order.
So what does Set Free Ministries do to help people walk from hopelessness to hope?
Remove the barriers between them and God. That's freedom. There's a lot of barriers sometimes between us and God. Usually some of the main barriers, bitterness and anger. Think of how angry these crowds are who burn our cities and who protest. They're all angry. What are they angry at? They're angry at injustice. And because they're angry at injustice, they actually become who they hate. There's a lot of killing. There's robbing. There's pillaging. That's unjust. So as they judge injustice, they become injustice. That means those people are not following in line with God. They're following their own hearts, which are darkened. And they're following the God of this world, who has come to kill, steal, and destroy. So we're being played. Even how this started with an evil cop in Minnesota who for 9 minutes snuffed the guy's life out, that's murder. And he's arrested for murder. That's correct. That's just. He should have been arrested the day that it happened. But because there was delayed injustice, then other people took it upon themselves for their own justice and became wildly rebellious themselves. Well, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and now we have complete chaos in our land, and it's very spiritual, and the enemy's playing most of us. We're being played. And we better get our eyes back toward God and back toward truth, because you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the verse right before that is, if you abide in my word. That's a big if today, because most Christians don't. Most Christians don't know the Word of God. Barner Research said 94% of evangelical Christians today do not have a biblical worldview. And there's the problem. We're undisciplined. We don't even know enough truth to walk in. So if you don't know the truth to walk in, how are you going to walk free? So land of the free, home of the brave, we are no longer land of the free because we don't know the truth of the God in whom we say we trust. That's a problem. So we have to repent. We have to turn back to God, just like Israel did. All those times they had to repent, and if they didn't, God says, I'm going to hand you over to your adversaries. I'm going to hand you over to disciplinarians. I think that's happening to us even as a nation. There's no peace in the land, and that some of that is because we've kind of turned our back on God. And so if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Those are a lot of ifs in that one text of Scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let's do the ifs. God will be faithful with events. Acts 3:19, repent therefore, and times of refreshing will come. I think for America, we have to get very serious about calling upon a holy God and start repenting for some of the things that we've allowed in our land.
All right, that wraps up my questions for now. Was there anything I missed or anything else you wanted to add?
You need a quick snippet for how we get set free, what people can experience from coming here?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So maybe if you could say something along the lines of, you know, the person that is without hope, and how we will connect them back to the Father to be able to remove those sins. Sure.
Okay. So if you're without hope today, if it feels like you're stuck, just know that darkness is not dark to our Heavenly Father. He knows right where you're at. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, let us cut off the sin that so easily entangles us. Let's get rid of all the heavy weights that hinder us. Let's run a good race. Let's focus our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus, full of grace, full of truth. Jesus is the healer of broken hearts. You want hope? Let's turn back toward him and ask him to forgive us of what we hold. And here's what most people hold. A lot of sin done to them. They just hold it and they get angry. And then our sinful response to that sin. That's our anger. That's our sin. And Jesus is saying, I paid for all of it. Hand me and give me your heavy loads. I come for the weary to give them rest. That's hope.